It's interesting anytime we can notice that what's happening in our life or in one of our relationships is a microcosm of like a larger theme that's happening collectively.
Yep.
And I think maybe as you're describing this, that's what that was about.
Yes. Because you don't want to think about it in terms of like, oh my God, I've got to change the world.
Right.
That's, I mean, who can eat that sandwich?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little big. So you just have to break it down to yourself. Like, who am I? What do I need? Who are the people that I want to surround myself with? Mm-hmm. That I want to make my community? And if you're doing that on the micro level, then it's going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to change the world by saying, I need to change the world. You change the world by changing yourself, changing the way that you think, the way that you do, and who you do it with.
Welcome to The Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of April 15th to the 21st, where Gabriella and I will be discussing the Sun's transit into Taurus, as well as this major conjunction, which is happening with Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus as well, forming a sextile to Mars in Pisces. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. Before we get started, I wanted to thank one of our listeners, Jennifer Paulo, for writing about us in her weekly email, The Healers Are Rising. If you are interested in reading some of her work, it's a very, very positive, good vibes. Jennifer each week has her blog posts that she does on Tuesdays. It's always just such an uplifting read in the realm of spirituality and just goodness in life and just keeping things positive. So if you're looking for that lift each week, that inspiration, I definitely recommend reading The Healers Are Rising by Jennifer Paulo. So the link to her blog is in the show notes. And if you are enjoying the content that Gabrielle and I are creating on the Weekly Transit, you can support us by writing a review on Apple Podcasts, rating us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple, liking this episode and subscribing to our channel on YouTube. And if you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, you can make a monthly contribution via Spotify. All of your help and support is appreciated by Gabriella and I. And we would like to thank our current monthly supporters, Sarah, Brenna, Kendra, Jasmine, Janelle, Aline, Ricky, Annie, Haley, and Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. And ultimately, the support will offer us more spaciousness to take this further.
Absolutely.
To offer more videos on YouTube. You know, for Scott, as a longer term goal, to do some YouTube lives where he could answer some questions and could be a way to grow this community more. So if you feel called to do so, know that it would be supporting what we're doing now, but also help us step into maybe the next chapter for the podcast. So
absolutely.
Thank you for your consideration.
Yes, thank you. Okay, before we get started into the week, I just wanted to bring up one celebrity topic, because this has just been something that has been thrown around on all the social media. It's such a huge story with Kate Middleton. Where is she? Is she alive? Has she been cloned? Is it AI that's the portrayal of how we're seeing her in the public realm? I don't have an answer for any of this, but I do have reflections in terms of what's going on with her astrologically, in terms of her astrological code.
Tell us.
So, according to the internet, Kate was born January 9th, 1982 at 7 p.m. in Reading, England. If that's so, then she was born with the ascendant and descendant at 19 degrees. The ascendant at 19 degrees in Leo, the fixed fire sign, ruled by the sun, symbolized by the lion, the king of the jungle.
Or the queen.
And then the descendant is at 19 degrees in Aquarius. The descendant is Kate's relationship energy. The ascendant is how she portrays herself to the world. She was born with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound at 18 degrees in Taurus, the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull. In her 10th house, this would indicate that she has a wound to her self-worth, her values, her sense of achievement and authority, how she presents herself to the world, expressing her heart, and a wound to her relationships. This is obviously significant because if she is or has been having marital problems with Prince William, then this would be a potential reason why. Because of Chiron squaring her descendant, which is the house of marriage. That's just something that lives within her as a part of her astrological code. That's the basis. When you're looking at where the planets have been transiting, like I know the famous YouTuber Elizabeth April, who is someone who describes herself as a remote viewer. I take that to mean that she is, as she explains it, leaving her body and going out there into the ether to view other people's light bodies. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting to me. She did mention that there was a breaking point that occurred in December of 23. And that was interesting to me because if you look back to December of 23, that is when Saturn, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority, was transiting through Kate's seventh house, the house of marriage. So the planet of restriction transiting through the house of marriage, that in and of itself is a challenge. But what was significant in terms of the breaking point comment that Elizabeth April mentioned is that Saturn was transiting at around 2-3 degrees in Pisces, and that squares Kate's Uranus at 3 degrees in Sagittarius in Kate's fourth house. So this was in December of 23. Uranus is the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, the unexpected. Kate was born with Uranus in the fourth house, which is the house of home. So in her home, in terms of looking at her past, her roots, her upbringing, her childhood, the ones who raised and nurtured her, her ancestors, there's a sense of independence there, a sense of uniqueness, a need for independence within the home. If she's feeling restricted in marriage, that is causing this breaking point within the home where she does not want to be restricted. So that was interesting to me. When the announcement came out from the royals that she had cancer, at that time, the transiting Chiron, the transiting wound, was at 18 degrees in Aries. That's significant because that squares Kate's moon, her emotions, at 18 degrees in Cancer, And it squares her sun, her sense of vitality, at 19 degrees in Capricorn. Kate was born under a full moon, the full moon in Cancer. And so this Chiron squaring the sun and the moon would indicate some sort of challenge or stress regarding her emotional nature, her identity, her self-confidence, her sense of authority, and her home life. She's going through some sort of difficult challenge, whether she's alive or dead or here or there, who knows. The transits don't look easy for her, and where the planets were aligned when she was born, there were significant challenges that could come to light. And as this was happening as well, we're talking about this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. This is happening right on top of Kate's Chiron. And it's been converging there for the last couple months.
So whether or not what's being told to us via the media is true, what is true astrologically is that there are some major shifts going on for her and for how she is perceived in the world.
Yes, 100%. And her relationships.
And her relationships.
Her relationship energy. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
I think it's so interesting that there's this, I mean, it's coming through the lens of conspiracy theories, which I should say is not a term that I really care for.
No.
Because I think it casts kind of an ugly shadow on like whatever is associated with that term.
Yes.
But I'll use that term here just to explain what I mean. I think it's curious that this concept of cloning people is coming out in relationship to the timing of this Aquarius energy coming in collectively.
With Pluto in Aquarius. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
So one thing that I think maybe we can all agree on is by the time information comes to us, the government has known about it for a long time already.
Sure.
So by the time something comes into kind of mainstream consciousness, it's actually, there's been a whole world behind the scenes before things come to us. And I think sometimes what, quote, conspiracy theories are doing are just attempting to bring that to the surface sooner.
Right. Yes.
But there's a tension between it doesn't exist in the mainstream yet, these concepts of what's possible. But they do exist behind the scenes in whatever way, whatever that means. So I'm curious about this cloning part in particular because it feels very AI. It feels like it's going to become a part of our future in some way. And it's kind of coming in through these conspiracy theories first in sort of a way to get it into our consciousness.
You're making my mind go in so many different directions.
Tell me.
So first of all, like when you think about what you were just saying, how the government knows something before it's revealed to the public, and the conspiracy is just trying to get that information to the public before the government is ready for the public to have the information. And that makes me think of like a few weeks ago, a month ago or so, there was an article in the New York Times, there was like a column that said why the deep state is a good thing. That was like the title of an article in the New York Times, the mainstream newspaper, like the biggest newspaper in the United States.
Can you speak to what you mean by the deep state?
Well, like the deep state is like this total conspiracy that there is a shadow government that exists that people go out there and they vote. And they think that the person that they're electing is going to do something to benefit them or whatever. But there's really this whole shadow government that's running everything behind the scenes. There is a deep state that exists where nobody, like you and I, normal people, we don't have a say over who's making these decisions. We're told we live in a democracy, but that's a facade. There's really a organization that is running the government that we think we're voting for. And this is something that Donald Trump brought up back in when he was first running for president the first time, talked about the deep state, and all the media and everyone just sort of lambasted him for making such a ridiculous statement. And now it's being talked about in the mainstream media. So that's an example. And you can look at all the different examples that occurred through COVID of people getting banned on social media for making claims that were supposed to be untrue, or what was the term that they would use? Misinformation. When people would say, you know, this is misinformation. Well, that misinformation ends up becoming true. So who's really giving the misinformation? The misinformation, you look back, a lot of it was actually coming from the mainstream narrative. So that again is, this is a conspiracy, it's not real, but then it ends up becoming true. And the people that were saying that that's misinformation or a conspiracy were the ones that were lying in the first place. And so when you talk about this Aquarius energy and clones, that sounds like wild technology, right?
It does.
Is that what you were alluding to with the Pluto and Aquarius?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I'm not sitting here as an authority on what is true or is not true. But as I notice what is coming through in these theories, it makes me curious as to how it aligns with Pluto and Aquarius.
Well, see, this is where I get into the whole thing where people say we're living in the age of Aquarius. And I'm always like, no, we're not. I hear what you're saying in terms of what you're talking about, whether you're meaning to talk about it or not. The way that I'm understanding it is we're talking about Pluto and Aquarius, which is transforming technology. It's also bringing to light issues that have been hidden within society, because Pluto is the Lord of Darkness, Lord of the Underworld. It's bringing light to the darkness. So it's going through Aquarius, the sign that represents society, and it's drudging up the secrets. It's putting it out into the open for all the community to view. That is what's happening. And I mean, you see it with like P. Diddy and all this stuff coming to the fore. You know, it's like child sex trafficking. Is this really happening? Or what's going on with the royal family? All of that. But what I'm talking about, when people say that we're in the age of Aquarius, we're not. We're in the age of Pisces, because the age of Pisces is the illusion. So what is this technology doing? Is it offering clarity or is it offering confusion? I'm not sure if the video that we're looking at of Kate Middleton is really Kate Middleton. Is it a clone? Is it AI? Is it her? I don't know. Is that ship that collapsed a bridge in Baltimore, was that an accident? Was it intentional? I don't know. Did P. Diddy have a child sex ring? I don't know. You know, there's just a lot of questions. There's a lot of confusion. There's no certainty about anything anymore. And it really makes you wonder if there ever was to begin with. You know, when you go back to the JFK assassination, 9/11, all these different things, it's not clear what happened. COVID is not clear what happened. These all happened during the age of Pisces, which is the age that we've been in for the last 2,000 years. And it's not over yet. The illusion is only getting more and more real, which is making it harder and harder to really be clear about what it is we actually are seeing and experiencing on these screens.
Yeah, it really calls into question, what kind of relationship do you want to have with the media? I mean, for me, I like to engage with it to the degree that I can and take it with a grain of salt and get curious about what sort of messaging is being shared with me and who might benefit from me having that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of what maybe I don't like about the term conspiracy theory is that it kind of implies that people who are curious about them are incredibly paranoid or maybe mentally unwell. There's certainly been an association like that in the past. But I really think that people who are curious about conspiracy theories or feel really strongly about them are asking some really important questions.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily saying they have the answers. Like, you and I aren't sitting here saying we have answers, but
I have no idea.
What we are saying is that we have questions.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to question what's in the media, what's being told to us as a truth, or what is being told to us is misinformation. And really, this is part of what I think the individuation process is about, is learning how to sample all the information that is coming to you through different, whatever sources you like to get your information from, and filtering it through your own system, your own true, false, you know, like, give it a gut check.
Yeah.
How does that land for you?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all really being asked to kind of become more comfortable with that discomfort of trusting, learning how to trust ourselves.
Right.
I think that's the real sort of gift in all of this Piscean confusion that you're sharing about, because it really is creating, you know, it's like a house of mirrors. It's like walking into one of those fun houses and everything is reflecting everything else.
Yeah.
And at some point, all you can do is turn inward.
Mm.
And I think a great way to know if something feels true to you is, like, how does it feel in your body?
Mm.
The body is one avenue through which to experience the unconscious.
Mm.
So if you find that your mind is all over the place, that the conscious mind doesn't know what to think, because maybe there's just too many narratives, check in with the body.
Good point. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How does it feel in my body? Do I feel tense? Do I feel at ease? Do I feel sick? Is there a pain that I'm feeling inside of me somewhere?
Mm-hmm. The body knows.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, part of this push into technology, I think, is attempting to take us away from the body. And I think it's really important to be mindful not to disconnect from the body, to check back in.
100%, for sure. Absolutely.
And I think, too, this concept, you know, what we're talking about has shown up in plenty of movies, TV shows, and...
Well, think of The Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I'm even thinking of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, The Great Oz, who's behind the curtain.
Yeah. That big booming voice, and then they pull the curtain back, and it's this little bald man.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have that voice.
Right.
You know, but they're like, oh, the Great Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like the Wizard of Oz was like trying to... L. Frank Baum, who wrote the Wizard of Oz, was trying to tell us something. About life and the world that we live in. And what do you trust? What is real? And it's how easily we can be fooled by anything.
Anything. That's why it's so important to consider yourself as much of an authority as any other external source of authority.
For sure.
Well, and that's one of the most beautiful things about therapy is ideally your therapist is letting you be the authority of your own life, your own experience. It's about supporting you and tapping into what you know about yourself.
Yes. Well, and when you think about individuation and therapy and understanding yourself, that leads us into our first transit of the week, which is Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, transiting retrograde through the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, Aries. Mercury forms a conjunction with Chiron, the wound and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound at 19 degrees in Aries from April 13th, Saturday, to April 18th, Thursday, with an exact conjunction occurring on Monday, April 15th. The last time Mercury was conjunct with Chiron in Aries was just this past March, March 20th. It was at 18 degrees. It's going to be conjunct again with Aries on May 6th at 21 degrees. So three times within just a few weeks, Mercury is forming this conjunction with Aries. So the planet of the conscious mind conjunct with the wound in Aries, March 20th, April 15th, May 6th, three times. This is really encouraging us to ask ourselves, what are you afraid of? What are you uncertain of? What insecurities are running through your mind? Are you conscious of the way that you're communicating? Are you speaking from a place of fear? Are you listening from a place of fear?
Might this also be connected to what we were just talking about? Maybe an awareness of the way that the mind has been manipulated?
Yes. Absolutely. We're being tested in a sense. Like our mind is being strengthened. Because you need to really be clear, confident about what's going on up there.
Well, and the first thing you do when you have a wound is clean it.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing here. We're clearing out the mind. Clearing out the mind. All the manipulation that's trying to weave in and out of your brain to control your mind. There's a battle that is happening for your mind right now.
Right.
A war of your mind. And this conjunction happening three times, once in March, once now in April, and once again in May, is about you fighting to reclaim your mind. Your mind, not someone else's. Manipulating yours. This is mine. These are my boundaries. Don't try to come in here. I will listen to you, but I listen to you from my place of understanding, knowing myself. Around the same time that this is happening, from Tuesday to Thursday, April 16th to the 18th, Venus, Lady Luck, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, also transiting through Aries, forms a conjunction with the North Node, the soul's purpose, the karmic pathway of the soul. which is also transiting through Aries. This is happening just a few degrees away from the Mercury-Chiron conjunction. This is happening at 15 degrees. The exact conjunction happens on Wednesday, April 17th. So this is bringing in relationships now. We're protecting our minds. We're being confident and courageous in our thoughts and being able to listen to others while also having clear boundaries within our mental space. The connection between Venus and the North Node in Aries is encouraging you to engage in your relationships, your close personal relationships, to fill out what's going on in here. Can I be confident in my close personal relationships, or am I being insecure? Where is there fear in my connection to others?
I think of this too. This invitation to look at fear is also maybe the flip side of that coin, would be to tap into trust.
And trust comes from authenticity. I know you, therefore I can trust you. So what are you seeing in your relationships? Is what you see in your relationships, whether it's a lover, a friend, a business partner, is what you see what you expect to see? Is it something that you know? Or are you seeing something in someone that you're in relationship with where it's like, I don't understand you. I don't know you. This doesn't make sense to me. It might be a time to call them out. Is this who you are now? Because this is different than the person that I thought I knew.
Right.
But it is about building that trust and that strength and that confidence within your relationships.
I think it's important to consider too that part of why fear is so triggering for us and feels so primal is because it actually connects back developmentally to our birth experience. That experience of coming through the birth canal is associated with the planet Pluto. And there is this real uncertainty, am I going to live or am I going to die through this experience? And then developmentally, between the ages of 0 and 2 is when you're grappling with your sense of survival. When you're 0 to 2, and of course beyond that as well, but especially in that window developmentally, that's where your survival is dependent on your parents or your caretakers. So if you experienced an attachment wound or some other wound during that 0 to 2 period, part of why that fear is so palpable is because it's bringing us back to that period of our lives where we truly were in survival mode. And now as adults, we're not in survival mode that same way, but it still activates that part of our psyche that remembers that period and may have been wounded during that period.
Well, and I feel like we sometimes get thrown back into that survival mode by events that occur in our reality. But it's interesting that you bring up 0 to 2, because at age 2 is when Mars returns to where it was when you were born. And Mars is the planetary ruler of Aries. So by the time you get to age 2, you have your first Martian return, and you're kind of like, oh, I think I know what this life thing's about.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out on my own. Then it happens again at age 4, and then 6, 8, 10, 12, so on and so forth. Every 2 years.
Interesting.
Is the Martian return. So the last time Venus was conjunct with the North Node in Aries was May 6, 2006. So it's been some time. This is a sort of a refresher course 18 years later of finding that confidence within our close personal relationships. That trust.
Right.
But as this is happening, shortly after, Venus forms a conjunction with the North Node. It then moves on and forms that conjunction with Chiron, just as Mercury did earlier in the week. Venus does later in the week, from Saturday, April 20th to Monday, April 22nd, with an exact conjunction occurring on Saturday, April 21st. The last time Venus formed a conjunction with Chiron in Aries was back at 14 degrees on March 3rd, 2023. So, bringing up those insecurities, maybe you have the trust earlier in the week, you're finding the trust, but then something comes up the end of the week where you're like, well, I'm not sure now. So what are those insecurities? What are those fears that you're experiencing within your relationships, within your values to yourself, your self-worth and how you're being treated by others? Do you feel like those that you're in relationship with see you for who you are?
Do they see you accurately?
Yes.
That's sort of an interesting double edge, I think. Because if people around you in your life are not seeing you accurately, you might be playing a role in that.
Yes. And it all goes back to authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the courage to be authentic in your relationships, to be yourself? Or are you holding up a mask and trying to pretend to be the person that you think that, well, they're not really going to like me, so I need to pretend to be someone that I think they will like because I really want them to like me.
Mm-hmm. So that can be helpful information.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like people around you don't understand who you are, is there a way you could show them more clearly who you are?
Yes.
I mean, one very small but maybe significant example in my own life is I've had a lot of difficulty receiving gifts from people that I feel like I like.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it occurred to me that that was about my authentic expression.
Hello.
Hello. And some people give gifts that they like, and it really has nothing to do with you. But sometimes it can indicate, you know, when you can tell they really tried to give you something you would like, but maybe they don't know you well enough because you don't know yourself well enough for there to be something clear to give you.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just one example of how it's shown up for me, where it's forced me to really look at my part of it.
Yes. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know yourself well enough, what is the reasoning behind that? Is it because you are spending so much time in your life deferring to what other people like, what other people think is good,
mm-hmm.
that you're not listening to yourself? It's like, I like the color blue. Why? Because my best friend likes the color blue. You know, I mean, is it really like, what is your reasoning for liking the color blue?
Well, I think some of it goes back to that survival period of life, 0 to 2, where how safe was it to have needs? And were those needs met? I think we can trace it back to that with this particular question of fear versus safety. You know, I think of it like if you build the foundation of a house on top of a faulty foundation, then the whole house is affected.
Mm-hmm.
So if you received the message that it wasn't safe to have your needs met, or that they weren't going to be met during that fundamental period of life, then you could become a person who is maybe not in touch with your needs, because you know, in that pre-verbal stage, something happened, you know, whether intentionally or by accident.
So you're afraid to go after what you want.
So you're afraid to even be connected to your needs, which I think is ultimately connected to authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
The need to be known.
Yes. Yes. In talking about needs, when I think of needs, I think of Taurus. When I think of Aries, I think of this is who I am. When I think of Taurus, this is what I need. So in order to know what you need to know who you are.
That makes sense.
And so it's really great that you bring that up, because this next major transit that we're discussing, these next two transits, are Taurus is a big part here. So we start out the week with this Aries information, which carries throughout the week. I mean, all week, Mercury, Venus, the North Node, Chiron, they're all, you know, within a few degrees of each other in Aries. So communication, relationships, the senses, insecurities, our soul's purpose. Who am I? Who am I? And as this is happening, Mars, the planetary ruler of Aries, transiting through Pisces, the sign of the unconscious, it's churning up our unconscious. We're becoming aware of thought patterns, beliefs that exist within us that we maybe were previously unaware of. As Mars continues its transit through Pisces, it forms a sextile, a supportive aspect, with Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion, and Uranus, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected, which are conjunct at the same degree in Taurus. The last time Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus was April 26th to May 18th, 1941, which was in the earlier side of World War II, before the United States had declared war. That happened in December of 1941, 9 months later.
So what connections can you make between that time and this time in terms of what we might be experiencing now? What might that mean?
Well, I mean, on a global scale, it doesn't really seem like it's a peaceful time on planet Earth.
True.
There's conflicts in Ukraine. There's conflicts in the Middle East. There's conflicts in Armenia, which no one talks about. And I'm sure in other parts of the world as well that are not reported in mainstream news. But what it all means to me in terms of an esoteric frequency is Taurus is the need. Our needs are being disrupted. Uranus is disrupting our material security. The planet of revolution transiting through Taurus since 2019 has disrupted our material security. Jupiter is expanding that disruption, pushing us to determine what we value, what is truly important to me, what do I really need, how am I making my money, do I value what I'm doing to make money, do I value what I'm spending my money on?
I would say, generally speaking, that we might be confused about the difference between needs and wants.
Yes. Well, and that's where Mars comes into the picture, churning up through the sign of confusion, Pisces. Mars is a part of this transit. I mean, these three are within alignment of each other from April 9th. Well, Jupiter and Uranus are in alignment with each other from April 9th to May 2nd of this year. They're conjunct, Jupiter and Uranus. But Mars is a part of this action from Monday to Sunday, the full week, April 15th to the 21st. So hopefully we're getting some clarity this week about the difference between our wants and our needs. Getting clarity in terms of what's going on in our unconscious and how that is resonating or reflecting our material reality.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's coming up for me around this is maybe a helpful metaphor in terms of needs versus wants might be thinking of it in terms of food. So having your needs met through food would be having all the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrition that your body needs versus having your wants met through food might be responding to a craving, which can sometimes be connected to, you know, a vitamin deficiency in some cases. But I'm thinking about how in our food system, we're so disconnected from foods, it's harder to find foods that have that nutritional value that we're missing. There's a really brilliant man named Zach Bush who talks about the ways that our soil has been depleted over the years so that fruits and vegetables grown in the soil that typically would have given us all the vitamins and minerals that we need, the soil itself is not nutrient dense anymore because of all of the pesticides. So there's really, like, to me, that speaks to what you're talking about astrologically. It's harder to get our needs met, even on that most fundamental level, through the material plane, which is food.
Yeah.
Is maybe one way that's showing up.
Totally.
So now, you know, if you work with a functional medicine doctor or any sort of alternative health practitioner, they'll help you discover that most of us are deficient in minerals that our body needs to be able to just live healthy lives.
Yes.
We're no longer able to get what we really need from the earth, directly from our food. And I can't think of a more fundamental need than that.
Totally. Well, Taurus is a big food-centric sign.
Yeah, I think that's why this is coming up for me as an example.
Yes. So this is a good time for anyone listening to really get in touch with your values, your needs. Are they being met? And how is your dream world, your unconscious thought process influencing or creating the reality that you live in? Our final transit for the week is the Sun. The planet of light, life, and vitality begins its transit through Taurus on Friday, April 19th, where it will be transiting until May 20th. So April 19th to May 20th, the Sun brings that vital energy to the material realm. So the same day that Mars is sextile Jupiter conjunct in Taurus, Friday, April 19th is the day that the Sun transits into Taurus. So something about this day says, like, there's maybe a wake-up call in terms of values, material security, food. It's an awakening of some sort. Every year the Sun transits through Taurus from either April 19th or 20th until May 20th or 21st, depending on what time and where you are in the world. But this year, we've got this other major transit occurring at the same time that the sun enters Taurus, so that feels important to me in some way. As the sun transits into Taurus, as many planets, as we say, when they transit into a new sign right now, if that sign is a fixed sign like Taurus or an air and fire sign, then they're aligning with Pluto in Aquarius. This squaring between the Sun and Pluto in Aquarius occurs from Friday, April 19th until Monday, April 22nd, with the exact squaring happening on Sunday, April 21st. So there's a lot of tension that is building here. This is the first time that the Sun in Taurus has formed a square with Pluto in Aquarius since May 19th, 1796. The last time the Sun in Taurus formed a square with Pluto in Aquarius at 2 degrees was April 13th, 1533.
Wow.
So any of you historians out there that know what that means, hit us up. But again, I just bring up these dates because it just shows the significance, the rarity of these sorts of transits. Mm-hmm. The tension is between my values and the community. What is important to me and what is important to the community? What is mine versus what I am responsible to give the community? There's tension there. Mm-hmm. Maybe more is being asked of you than what you're willing to give. Maybe you need to protect what you have more strongly than you have in the past. Or maybe you need to be more generous than you have been in the past. But there is some sort of tension that needs to find balance between your material security and what is required of you by the community, the group, or society.
Interesting.
It's like Taurus is your bank account, and Aquarius is the tax collector.
Ooh.
It's what you owe community. It's what you owe to society. If you live here, then you have to share your bank account with us. Because your bank account needs to pay for the infrastructure that supports the community.
Well, the most obvious thing that comes to mind is, I mean, how fundamental this tension is. Because often that is one of the primary indicators for why people choose to vote Republican versus Democrat is the issue of taxes.
Mm-hmm. But I think
the Democrat is more of that Aquarius energy that wants higher taxes so that the community at large can benefit, but it comes at the cost of the individual giving more of their money away. Mm-hmm. Versus the Republicans want the individual to be able to hold on to more of their money.
Generally speaking, those are the party lines. Whether you believe them or not is up to you.
Right. But for many, it comes down to if you feel split on social issues, for example, then that could become the deciding factor for you.
But the difference is now, because of this tension, and this is something that we're going to experience now annually for the next 20 years, and it's going to come to a breaking point because more and more people are starting to recognize or realize that it doesn't matter how much money you give the government always wants more of it. And it doesn't matter who's in charge, Republican or Democrat. The government wants more of it because the government gets bigger. The debt grows bigger.
Well, I think this is bringing us back to that fear versus trust. Because one of the fears may be of giving more of your money to the community or to the government, that hopefully it ends up in the community, mm-hmm. is maybe a fear that it might not align with your values, however that money is used.
Totally. Yeah. Well, when you think about where the government spends money, is it spending money on something that where you would want your money spent?
Right. And I think that becomes a trust issue.
Right. But then the government says, well, you have an opportunity to vote for the people that are going to represent your financial interests in terms of, I want to support this cause versus that cause. So I'm going to vote mm-hmm. for the candidate that supports the causes that I support versus the candidate that doesn't support the causes that I support. But when you get to the point where you realize that whoever you're voting for, whether they say they support your causes or not, more money is needed, the debt grows larger, prices go up, it feels like no matter which side you vote for, more is taken, less is given. And so that's why it feels like over the next 20 years, at some point, there's going to be a fracture that occurs, which is what occurred the last time Pluto was in Aquarius, which was during the American and French revolutions, when people split from the ones that were ruling them and said, this is no longer suitable leadership, so we need to change the whole thing.
Yep.
Because this system doesn't work.
It really feels like that's where we're headed.
It is where we're headed.
There's just the tension that's mounting just yes. feels like it cannot be sustained.
No.
Eventually, the pot has to boil over.
And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. And this is the first sort of, you know, maybe sort of crack in the foundation, as you say, where you realize like, this house is not built on a good foundation. We might need to move.
So what would you say, like for those of us who are feeling this tension, is there anything to do with it besides just be aware that it's occurring?
I think step one is, like we were saying earlier with all the Aries energy, is that clarity of who am I? Finding trust for yourself in your own thoughts. Trust in the people that you're connected to. Connect based on values and form alliances with people that you can trust. Find that support with one another within your own local communities. It's about reorganizing. The Pluto and Aquarius energy is about a reorganization of society. The structures that had previously been built to organize society are falling apart. So what is your role in the restructuring, the reorganization of society? That's why you have to be clear about who you are, what you need, and who you want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
What's your community?
It's a messy process.
It is.
I mean, I'm thinking about my time in corporate America and how we went through a major restructuring of the department that I was a part of. The product development team, the product management team, we were responsible for inputting the data in the system around like style numbers and color names and like really speaking of the organizational information. Mm. And we went through a process of getting a new system and having to transfer all of the information from one system, from the old one to the new one. And it was an incredibly challenging process that really brought people like to their knees. It was really, myself included. And I remember at the time thinking, why am I having this experience? Like, what is the purpose of this? And I'm wondering, I'm seeing now how that might be an example of what we're working towards on a larger scale, and how it's interesting anytime we can notice that what's happening in our life or in one of our relationships is a microcosm of like a larger theme that's happening collectively.
Yep.
And I think maybe as you're describing this, that's what that was about.
Yes. Because you don't want to think about it in terms of like, oh my God, I've got to change the world.
Right.
That's, I mean, who can eat that sandwich?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little big. So you just have to break it down to yourself. Like, who am I? What do I need? Who are the people that I want to surround myself with? Mm-hmm. That I want to make my community? And if you're doing that on the micro level, then it's going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to change the world by saying, I need to change the world. You change the world by changing yourself, changing the way that you think, the way that you do, and who you do it with. You want to be thinking clearly about understanding, this is who I am. This is me authentically. When I'm authentic, people see me for who I am. I'm able to listen to them and not be threatened by what they have to share with me because I know who I am. We're only threatened when we feel like someone else is trying to change me.
Hmm.
Like, I'm just listening. I know who I am. I don't need to be afraid of someone else's ideas that don't vibe with who I am, because I am who I am. I have those boundaries up. I can hear other ideas. Maybe I take it in. Maybe I don't. It's not threatening to me. Because I'm clear about my values, what's important to me, what I know what I need, and I know the people that are around me.
Well, and ultimately, that is what happened at this company, where each of the departments had to become involved, because each of us had to put in, you know, input our information.
Yes.
And then had to work with other team members who then would have to put in their information. And it was, originally it kind of started as this like top down, very sort of authoritative, you know, it felt like it was like mandated to us that we had to all adapt to this new system. And there were so many conflicts and bumps in the road. And we ended up in this place where they were really looking, the management was really looking to us, the people who were like boots on the ground doing the work, to really share our perspectives of what we needed to make the system work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being this really kind of a powerful shift.
Amazing. Such a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, really, it's like the people that on top realize, okay, if we want these changes to be implemented, then we have to listen to the people on the bottom about how to do it.
Right, because we were the ones actually doing the work, and we were raising the red flag, like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And this is how it would work better for me based on what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And it was received.
Mm.
Not that it was a perfect system by any means.
No.
But it was a huge undertaking.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a really, really intense time. Yeah, yeah, but it reminds me so much of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gabriella.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we move on to questions today, I just wanted to reach out specifically to anyone who's done a reading with me in the past about my Cosmic Pathway program, which, you know, we're talking about all these intense transits and how they may or may not be affecting you, in what ways they may be affecting you. And that's what the Cosmic Pathway is about. It's a program that I have where I meet with you weekly for an hour each week, and we cover how these transits are affecting you and for the purpose of helping guide you through your week, your life, month to month, year to year. If you want to continue working with me, I ask for a 6-month commitment, because if you really want to see the changes happen in whatever you're going through in your life, 6 months is going to give us enough time to really see these changes occur through the different notes and insight that I will give you through helping you understand your astrological code, the astrological codes of those who are closest to you, family, friends, coworkers, and how to use this cosmic energy to support you in your everyday life. So if you're interested in learning more about the Cosmic Pathway program, then I encourage you to reach out to me. Send me an email, scott@theweeklytransit.com, and we will get into the details and begin our work together. It's truly my honor to do this work with my weekly clients. It's really the most fulfilling work that I do, because I love doing readings. And when people have a reading with me, often I've had clients tell me that it feels like they're on drugs because they feel high because they've been seen.
Mm-hmm.
They feel authentic. It's like, you know me and you don't even know me, but I'm reading your chart. The Cosmic Pathway is the integration of the one-time reading, where you have that high, but then what do you do with it? Are you able to really implement everything that we discussed in an hour or 90 minutes into your life? The Cosmic Pathway keeps you on that path by checking in with me every week and sharing with me the difficulties and challenges that you're experiencing in your life, me taking that in, reflecting it through your astrological code, and then sharing the knowledge that has been bestowed to me to understand this information on how to help guide you through whatever challenges you're experiencing in your life.
It's really such a beautiful program. And I love that you've highlighted how much it is about integration. Mm. So I think we have these one-off experiences, whether it's an astrological reading or a psychedelic experience, where we're just on an adrenaline rush and, you know, what goes up must come down. And when you come back down, it can be hard to know what to do with that information, how to actually apply it to your day-to-day life.
Yes.
To understand how maybe daily struggles that you're having might actually be related to that sort of major download that you got.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're really kind of an accountability partner, and just sort of pointing out, hey, this is the same thread. This is the same seed of this larger concept that we've been talking about. So it really has a beautiful way of just connecting the dots. And when you've really integrated the information, that's when you can really say that you've learned it.
Yes, exactly. Because you're using the information in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the changes happen.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to think about it anymore. It's like you're creating new habits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new program.
Right. You're living through the pattern enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're experiencing the cycle so that you can see it from all angles, all perspectives.
Yes.
And you can really digest the information that way.
Thank you, Gabriella.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm excited to talk to you, whoever you are, that is hearing this message.
We know there's some of you out there.
Yes. Reach out to me. I'm excited to begin the conversation and to begin our work together.
Our first question comes from Megan. Are sore feet somehow related to low vibrational Pisces? My son in the 12th house, Mercury in the 11th, and Saturn in the 11th are all in Pisces. I struggle with escapism and I'm suddenly having bad foot pain.
Yes, Megan, I would say 100% because Pisces rules the feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're having bad foot pain, what does that mean to you? Is maybe you're getting some kind of message there. You know, it's like Gabriella said, we were talking about earlier on in the episode how what are you feeling in the body? What mm-hmm. are you feeling in the body? How is this happening? When is the foot pain most pronounced?
Mm-hmm.
Is it after a hard day of work? Is it when you're escaping? Like, when does it flare up?
Mm-hmm.
That might give you some insight as well, because maybe whenever it flares up, it's in response to whatever you are doing or whatever you have just done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Megan, I would ask you, because of your connection to Pisces, to lean on your intuition here.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do a meditation around this to kind of tap into maybe what the message is for you. But
yeah.
I would say you already know what it is,
yes,
what it's about.
Probably, yes.
So I would just introduce that as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
What I also want to say about feet, and we know this about Pisces, that Pisces is the last sign in the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So it holds the weight of all of the 11 signs, just as the feet hold the weight of the whole body. And what's so powerful about the feet is it not only are they representing this Piscean part of you, but if you are familiar with reflexology, they're actually connected back to every organ in
yes.
the body.
I was just going to say, what part of the foot
yeah.
is sore? Because that is indicating a different part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, which foot is it on, too? Is it...
Masculine would be the right side, feminine would be the left side.
Yeah, so is it the left side feminine or right side masculine?
Mm-hmm.
Go to a reflexologist, find out, or...
Yeah, you
yeah.
can also just Google a chart online
exactly,
just to see.
Yeah.
And if you can pinpoint where the pain is coming from, it's connecting to one of the organs
mm-hmm.
in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've actually had a lot of issues with my feet in the past, and oftentimes when I'm having a digestive issue, there's a particular part of my foot that's bothering me.
Mm.
So one of the things you can do is give yourself a foot massage, or you could do a foot soak.
Mm.
Because the feet are often helping us understand what the body is trying to get rid of. Sometimes it just gets stuck in the foot, whatever that energetic issue is, or if it's connected to an organ perhaps that's helping you detox. Like, if the part of your foot that's bothering you is connecting to the liver represents anger.
Mm.
So there could be a part of you that's angry that you're trying to release, and this is your body's way of letting you know that it needs some support. Maybe just bringing some consciousness to it can help let it go. Maybe you need to do like a foot soak with some essential oils or some Epsom salt, some herbs to help draw out the toxins from the feet. I also want to say too, because I'm actually really I get so much information about what's going on for me through my feet. It's really like, I love this question so much. Because Scott and I both love this book called Heal Your Body.
Yes.
By Louise Hay.
Yes.
And she says that how you feel about your feet is how you feel about life.
Mm, I love my feet.
And it really, really landed for me just in my relationship with my feet and how that was really like such a, really represented something so much larger for me. When you look around at the shoes that we wear and the ways that our feet are so disconnected from the earth, you can see how our shoe choices are really keeping us disconnected. So one thing I've been exploring over the last couple of years are wearing what are called barefoot shoes or grounding shoes. And they're shoes that follow the natural shape of your foot. Like so many of the shoes out there, like the most popular shoes, are really constricting like the natural shape of your foot and are forcing your toes into a shape that gives you bunions. So you can really you want to look at like the health of our experience with life. You can look at people's feet.
Wow. And
it can tell you so much about how they've been shaped or how they've been shaped by these external influences. Mm. And one of the most important parts about a barefoot shoe, it's not only about a wider toe box that gives your toes more freedom,
mm-hmm.
but it's also about how flexible the sole is. Mm. So ideally you want your whole foot to be able to bend when you're walking. And if your sole is too stiff, then your foot is not able to really expand and contract mm-hmm. in a way that it needs to kind of let go of, you know, the energy that's stuck in there.
Such an interesting metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm.
The restrictiveness of our feet. Our feet are how we feel about our feet is how we feel about life. And we squeeze ourselves into these shoes that make our feet uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We're in these systems or whatever that need to be broken down or transformed that make our life uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful metaphor.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yes.
I mean, I think that if we all... I don't know, if suddenly everyone was barefoot.
If everyone was barefoot, there'd be world peace. Something like that.
I don't know exactly what it would mean, but...
It'd be a more peaceful planet, perhaps. Maybe it'd be a cleaner planet, too. Or, mm-hmm. you know, the way that we treated our surroundings because we're walking on the ground as opposed to on the sidewalk with our shoes on where you're separate from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really care if the street's dirty.
Right. We would be able to understand how... we are the earth.
And I wonder what it means in terms of the feet and Pisces, with Pisces being the unconscious.
Mm-hmm. We're keeping the unconscious trapped or...
beneath our feet.
But in the shoes, like we're uh-huh. keeping the unconscious constrained.
Constrained by the shoes.
In some way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And especially women's shoes, the pointy toe shoe.
Because it's interesting. Yeah, totally, 100%. I just started thinking about like walking on the beach. Like when you walk on the beach, it's a really dreamy place for me. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the beach, my mind is just like, it's all over the place. Because my feet are free.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in the earth. I'm able to connect.
So when you look at the shape of a shoe... that really is most problematic according to this barefoot shoe movement. The biggest issue is often that the big toe doesn't have enough space because it's the big toe that ends up getting pushed towards the other toes
mm-hmm.
and can't really have the toe splay that it needs.
Yeah.
Like if you look at a baby's foot, there, and so look at a baby's foot and then think about your hand.
Yeah.
The big toe is actually the thumb.
Yes.
So it should be
out.
It was
yeah.
at one point actually out at an angle.
Yeah.
So the toe splay should be allowed to have that level of movement, but we've restricted it.
Yeah.
And now our big toes aren't even allowed to stay straight.
Uh-huh.
They're now pushed towards the other toes.
Yeah.
They're pushed in.
Women's, you know, pointed shoes with the heels and everything, mm-hmm. where it's like whose foot is it a peak like this?
Right.
Nobody's.
Right. Well,
everybody
even,
is more like this. It's more of a why.
Right. But it's even happening in your sneakers,
yes,
too.
Yes, totally.
Like, it's not just those shoes mm-hmm. that are the most restrictive. It's almost any shoe
yeah.
that you have.
Yeah.
And if you look at the reflexology map, what do you think the big toe is connected to
the
in
heart.
The body? The brain.
The brain. Oh, wow. The brain is restricted.
The brain is restricted.
The brain is restricted.
You think about, we only understand so much of the brain. Like neuroscience
yeah.
can only grasp so much mm-hmm. of what's going on in the brain.
Yes.
We know that we have limitations to what we understand about the brain.
Mm.
And yet we are consciously limiting that part of our body, the big toe.
Yes.
So like one of the most powerful things for me in wearing these grounding shoes, these earthing shoes, is feeling my big toe kind of like come back online.
Finding its way. It's
like,
alive. It's returning
yeah,
to life. It's coming
like a,
back
it's like
to
a
life.
Frankenstein situation.
Yeah.
But like, you know, because at first the shoes feel too big.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly that big toe is like, I'm going to maybe like head over here and just kind of check out there's space, you know,
yeah.
what's up over here.
Yes.
So eventually the shoes aren't too big.
Uh-huh.
It's really been an interesting exploration
yes.
for me. So like Megan, I can't tell
wow.
you how much I love this question, but there's so much here.
Yes.
So please, if you feel called to like share more, I would really be curious to hear about your experience.
Mm. I love this. And just thinking about the transits this week with Mercury, the planet of the mind, transiting through Aries. It's about, you know, this week's all about taking off your shoes and your big toe fighting back and freeing your mind.
Set the big toe free.
Yeah, set the big toe free and free your mind
mm-hmm.
with Mercury transiting through Aries for
yes.
this extended period of time.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Awesome, Gabriella.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah. Thank you again, Megan, for that amazing question. Thank you to all of our listeners for your support, for being here, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian, wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.